Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Morelia Pythons Radio, brought to you by MoreliaPythons.com, the best forum for carpet pythons in Morelia on the web. Check it out, www.MoreliaPythons.com. And don't forget about the ICAS. That's coming up in August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That is the International Collective Arboreal Symposium. You can check out all the information over at www.arborealsymposium.com. And, of course, there is, well, tonight we're going to be talking about the Northeast Carpet Fest, but don't forget about the Northwest Carpet Fest coming up June 8th, 2013, over in Seattle, Washington. For more info, you can check out carpetfest.com, or you can get in touch with Heather at nwheather7@yahoo.com. Owen, I'm still sick, as you can probably tell. It's been quite a weekend, yes.
That was the worst possible timing you could ever had, because we sit down to do the auction, and you turn to me and you go, I think I'm going to die. And I'm like, what? And, of course, now we're doomed, because I was not of sound mind at all to run the auction, so I was kind of relying on you. So
yeah.
That was a good way to kick that off, but Carpet Fest is over, and it was a blast. So.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thanks to Howard Redding for inviting us back down to his house in good old Maryland. It was quite an adventure. I got to hang out with two really cool guys, Mr. Zach Baez and David Kelly. We shared a hotel room together in the ride down, and of course, you know, it was all all carpet talk the whole way down and the whole
of
way
course.
Back. And, some
what
cool
else
stuff.
To talk about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was great.
I did like the touch Howard did by putting a kitty table with two sippy cups and place settings that said for David and Zach to sit at the kitty table. That
oh,
was
man.
Kind of funny. But that was pretty much starting off, like, before we even got there. It's like, dear God, so we're already going? Okay. So.
Wow. You guys are tough. Tough crowd. Tough
yeah,
crowd.
Yeah, dear
I'll
Lord. Dear Lord.
I'll tell you what, though. You know, they handled it well, but I'll
yes,
tell you
they
what.
Did.
Listening to those two guys talk, man, they know their shit, man. And
that's good. You're
they're
Dave
Kelly was in the back, and he was like Mr. Lineage Encyclopedia himself. I mean, any animal that I even brought up, he knew the lineage, where it came from. I was like, holy shit, how the hell does he know all this stuff? But,
yeah.
Good stuff.
Next time I sell something to him, I'm going to hold off on giving him the lineage information until he's screaming at me over the phone. just to be a jerk. So,
I guess before we get into the details and to let you guys all know what happens, that's why we didn't do a show from the broadcast, because for some strange reason, about mid-afternoon, I started feeling like a fever was coming on. But man, by the time the auction came around, I felt like crap. I mean, I thought I was going to die. I don't know what happened.
You were very quiet next to me, and that was kind of it. And
it was brutal, man.
Yeah.
I left Carpet Fest and went into the Wawa there, got some NyQuil, and crashed. And I started to feel better, and then about mid-afternoon on Sunday, I started to feel like shit again. And I got a story about Sunday too that we'll get into. But the cool thing is that the auction that we had, we raised $6,425 for Rico Walton.
Yes.
Which was good, and was really a pleasant surprise to see the people in the community step up and help out Rico, and I'm glad that we could help him out. And on top of that, right after we finished the auction, Mr. Mike Curtin from Scattershot, He I guess he had a fundraiser with the Bush League Breeders Club,
He called in, and they he called Julie, right, or was it Luke?
I think he called Julie, and they raised another $1,000. So all total, we were just shy of $7,500. So that was pretty good. So. I'm glad that we could do that, and thank you to everybody that donated animals and equipment and whatever you donated. You know, thanks so much, and I'm sure Rico appreciates it as well. So that was great.
We did actually call Rico right after the auction. He was talking to Julie, and he definitely said thank you. I remember us all like screaming at the top of our lungs to him, and that was. That's always good, and it's very good to help a fellow Morelia head and friend out in a desperate time of need like this. So I'm definitely very proud of us. This is a very, very good community. Very good. So
yeah, one of the things that I learned from the auction, like I put up a post over on the Facebook page, and I was just curious to see what people thought that they liked, they didn't like, what they thought could be better, and. You know, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things that I noticed is that animals really didn't get bid on that much. And it seemed like the higher end animals, they did. But some of the lower end stuff, I guess, you know, cage base, maybe it's the wrong sex or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I think next year.
Fighting people goddamn bids.
Yeah, right. I think next year we should go for more, equipment type of stuff. Like I was thinking, if we got a snake hook that said Carpet Fest on it or something like that, you know,
a Herbst Fest 4. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I think people would go crazy for that kind of stuff. So,
maybe we should maybe do more vouchers or something like that of like animal of this value from this breeder, because then they can now choose which one they want. Because maybe. You're right. The one you're looking at doesn't fit into your project, or it's not the right sex, but it's the one we brought. But if you win a voucher, then you can contact us later and figure out which one you want.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was great to meet people that, you know, when we first got there, it was almost like seeing the Facebook in real life, you know, like Morelia Pick of the Week come alive, all the names that I see on a daily basis, and actually be able to put a name with a face was pretty cool. And, I guess basically, I'll start at the beginning. I don't know if you have any special stories that you want to, but we headed down there on Friday, which was pretty cool, but we still hit the traffic, man. That traffic coming down there is. What was the words that Howard said? Was
stupid,
freaking stupid, or something? I'm telling you what, I thought we were going back in time, because every time I looked at the GPS, it said 20 minutes, and it was an hour later, and it still said 20 minutes till we arrive at our destination. Oh, my God,
yeah.
It's driving me crazy.
It's the last, so it's about 20, 15 minutes of the trip, because Chris and I did the same thing where we were coming down, and it's like, getting there three, getting there three. I'm like, yeah. And then we hit the traffic, and then you actually texted me, like, where are you? And I told you, what do you mean? I'm at home. So but no, I mean, we got there, and it's the crappy traffic that I'm going to have to remember to compensate for next year, which I'll probably forget again, but, you know, it's something we just got to deal with.
Talking to some of the locals, they were saying that you don't go anywhere in the afternoon. Like, when you're coming home from work, you just go, you get your stuff, and then you hunker down for the rest of the night. You don't ever leave the place, your house, you know? So, so that was good to know. But, you know, it was a cool ride because, of course, you know, going down, we're talking carpets, we're excited, whatever. It seemed to go by fast. And we got down there Friday night. We headed over. We went out and hung out with Howard and his girl. And, funny thing, one of the funny stories is they carded Dave Kelly when he went into the bar. And, of course, because, you know, those guys look young, so they carded all of us. And then when we got down and sit at the table, they carded us again. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, didn't they just card us at the door? Now they're carding us here.
How many times are they going to do this?
Yeah. So Maryland must be real strict on the carding and the underage drinking, I guess. I don't know. But
also, a lot of places are really uppity about out-of-state licenses because normally that's how you use that's how you have a false ID is, you know, the person who's checking you at the bar is really trained hardcore on the license of the state, and then, you know, you can sneak a fake ID pass if it's an out-of-state one easier. So,
Good point. I didn't even think of that.
You guys probably looked like you were up to no good, so I wouldn't have trusted you either.
I think it was me that really looked like the thug, you know, being a...
Yeah. You're wearing a polo shirt, probably. Up to nothing.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's jackass stupid traffic. That's it. Jackass stupid.
Ah, there we go. That is the technical term.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a good time. We got to hang out with Howard and his girl and Dave, me, and Zach. And then we just headed back to the hotel, and we stayed up for a while just shooting the shit. Then we went full tilt on Saturday. It was good to we had a couple discussions as far as morphs and all that kind of stuff, and it was kind of interesting. Some people.
It was good to get another perspective of the kind of stuff, and it's definitely good to talk to everybody about what they're working on, what they think is important, and where we're headed. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was...
You and I would talk at the shows when we were vending. It's like, you know, oh, that's right, I should be selling these babies instead of just talking to Eric about shit. So...
I think the phrase of the Saturday was, well, jackass stupid traffic was Friday, and it's a snake in a effing box was was Saturday's quote. But it was a good time, except for being stupid sick, so I don't really remember.
Right.
I think I don't remember the auction too much. I remember the I remember yelling for Rico.
Christ.
And that was about it. That's really all I remember after that. I remember I went out to tell Howard that I wanted to cook some burgers, and then Howard
happened.
Yeah, he got nailed, and then forgot about that, and you know. Howard's got some nice snakes, man. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, he does. I poked around Howard's snake room last year, and, of course, he's gotten some additions. And, you know, unfortunately for Howard, he's like, you know, he locks his snake room, which I, honest to God, don't fault the guy for. That many people running through my house, and, you know, you never know if somebody's just going to come and want to check something out and forget to lock something completely unintentional or something like that. So, yeah, forget it. Everybody can wait till I come and give you tours. But he was going in and out of his own room so many times, it was ridiculous. But he showed me, he's got some great looking jungles, those Turner line things, and so pretty.
Yeah, he's got.
I wish he'd produce some of those this year.
Yeah, he's kind of like me. This is the in-between year for him, and I know next year is going to be a killer year for him, and same for me. So we say this. That was Sunday's quote of the day. This is a growing year. So there was
growing year. Yeah.
Friday was jackass, stupid traffic. Saturday was just a fucking
snake
in a
box.
Sunday
was a growing year.
This is a growing year. So there's
you
a three quotes.
You have until June 1st to declare it a growing year. Just like much in many sports, you do have up until like the third week to recall it to call it a building year. June 1st, you can call it a growing year. It's okay.
Yeah, so. Yep. There we go. So that was pretty much the whole thing in a nutshell. One of the cool things on Sunday, as we were heading back, we stopped at the Baltimore Aquarium, and
yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the Australia exhibit that they have.
I have applied for a job there.
Oh, okay. So then I'm sure you've seen it.
A little bit, yeah.
So, I tell you what, I was stuck on the Aki's monitor. They had a lot of cohabitation going on. They had a bearded dragon, a shingleback, a blue-tongued skink, an Aki's monitor, and a frilled dragon all in one cage.
Okay. Well, they're all from Australia, so it's not really that big of a stretch. I mean,
well,
if you're going to be like, you know, thinking of from different parts and such.
Yeah.
I guess you keep everybody well fed, they'll leave each other alone.
Well, that's why I was getting to my next step. When you cruise around to the next cage in the middle there, where they have the pythons, they have a water python, a coastal carpet, and an olive python. Olive pythons.
Weird.
Eat other snakes. Or could.
Yes. Oh, my God.
But, yeah. So they kept it pretty well fed. And it was pretty interesting cage because they had 75% of it was water. You know? It was kind of cool.
Do they understand just because it's a water python doesn't mean it needs to stay in the water?
Yeah. I don't know. We were talking to the keeper there, and they definitely overfeed the olive python just to try to keep him happy and content so he's not eating other pythons.
Eating everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do with the sharks in the aquariums, too. They're like, we keep them fed so they don't eat the other fish in the tank. If we skip a feeding, they just eat them all. So, I mean, and Monday, I actually went to the Smithsonian Zoo in D.C., for my friend's birthday, so I was poking around their reptile house. And, of course, the D.C. Zoo is very, if it's horribly endangered, they want it because it's a government grant zoo, so they get paid to breed it and keep it and all that fun stuff. So it was cool to see some of the more rare species of reptile, Cuban crocodile, crocodile with a really thin snout,
Gharial.
Some of that.
Gharial.
Gharial. Yeah. That thing. That was there. And then, of course, the Chinese alligators and the Komodo dragon were all just hanging out. And I'm like, that I love. I'll definitely hang out there for whatever. But, you know, it's cool to see those kind of things every once in a while. But the last time I was at Columbus Zoo, they had a whole big thing of pythons. And you walk through and it's like, you know, pythons of the world. And I'm like, carpal pythons. I'm like, have it. Scrub pythons. Have it. Macaws pythons have it. So it's like going down, it's like, yep, need it. Got to get that one. Yes, no. So, the shopping.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, that would be cool to head down to the, I've never been to any other zoo, I think, except for Philly, to be honest.
The National Zoo's free, so you just walk in the front door.
Really?
Yes. Yes, it's like all the other museums in the Smithsonian. You just walk in. So, yeah, not that bad.
Huh. Cool.
Yes. But back to Carpet Fest. You walked away with something really good from the auction. Inland.
Yeah, I was...
admitted to not really remembering the auction, so I'm a little afraid. Did you buy that thing without realizing it?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Someone just handed me an Inland, said you bought this. I'm like, shit.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, the the one jungle, the price was so ridiculous. I couldn't. I mean, when I say ridiculous, I mean it was just ridiculous that nobody was bidding on it. So I just.
I'm gonna bring a BB gun next year or a paintball gun, and it's like if it's a really really good animal and no one's bidding, and I'm like, all right, I'll ask for $10. I'm start shooting into the crowd because it's like.
That's a good plan of attack.
I know you all want it. So.
It was cool to finally see the rough scales in person.
Yeah.
I must admit. Yeah, that was very cool.
Yes.
They were a lot smaller than what I thought they were going to be, but man, they
little
were
heads.
The keeled scales, such cool eyes. They were really neat, really really cool. Definitely going to be getting a pair of them sometime in the near future, no doubt.
According to Julie, I couldn't really feel the keeled scales that much, but according to Julie, when they start getting bigger, it's definitely more pronounced, and you can definitely feel them more so. And that was just so cool. And they went quick. That bidding was off to the races. And
yeah,
Casper gave me some flack for not buying them.
I know. I was really surprised that you didn't get them. I mean, wow.
I have a few other projects that are right in front of my head right now. So,
gotcha.
You know, blowing the money on the rough scales I definitely would have. And trust me, very hard decision on my part. Blow the money on the rough scales or get what I need for three additional projects. Kind of the other projects won out.
I see.
Yes.
That's the way it goes sometimes. That's the way it goes. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully we'll sell out of some super caramels really quickly, and I can quick buy them this year.
I don't think there's any left.
I know, but Cam, you don't think that there's some coming in 2013?
Yeah, I guess there will be, yeah.
Yeah, the 2012s are gone, but there's got to be more. So, hatching somewhere.
Maybe over in Europe. But
over in Europe. Maybe if I keep yelling at Julie, she'll finally get hers up the size and breed them. Like, I don't know what I got to do. I got to just shake a stack of money at her and say, shut up and take my money. And, you know, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, I'd look forward to having them in the fold here as E.B. Morelli.
Now, you got to look for a female McAlpine. I mean, now you can't just have one.
I have a pair. I already have
a pair. You already have it? Oh. So you bought an inland and you already had a pair?
I was unrelated bloodline.
Oh. Okay. Now it makes more sense. Here I just thought you were buying an inland for the sake of an inland.
No.
Here I thought you didn't have an inland, which first off shocked me because it's like, you don't have an inland?
No, I got the pair from Nick.
So, well, of course, that's where I figured afterwards. But
yep.
I just thought you didn't have it. I thought this was like one of the ones you were missing. But I guess the only thing you're missing is Imbricata.
Yep. One day.
deep sigh.
One day.
God. But,
Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I think Carpet Fest was fun, even though I didn't come home with anything from the auction. It was still fun to run the auction, and I got to use my gavel.
The gavel.
Jason Balin took it apart.
Next year, you have to talk super fast.
I'm working on it. I've been watching more and more auction shows on television, and I'll figure that out, but... apparently I was mumbling, which if people think I had any idea what the hell I was saying, ridiculous. I was getting flack because I stopped drinking before we did the auction, and I was getting yelled at to, you know, keep up with it. I'm like, no. I will buy something for $2,000 if I continue to drink, so we're going to stop now, and before Owen goes broke. But,
right.
Yes.
Well, hopefully you'll sell some super caramels and you'll be all set. So there you go.
Of course you're gonna buy super. You're gonna buy super caramel.
A super caramel? I already have a super caramel.
I know you already have a super caramel, but You can buy one. You can buy it. Shut up. I already marked you down.
The couple things that I think that the food kind of fell apart. I blame myself for that because, I said, I was going out there to cook burgers. We kind of,
We didn't get the burgers. Didn't get off the ground. We didn't get the crabs cooked. We just kind of all eat like chips, dip, pulled pork, and whatever, and that was it. Which it was great. I'm not complaining, but boom. I think there was chicken and steak a little bit, and that was it. But it was still good.
Oh, the food, the steak and the chicken were awesome. But I think being outside in the cold and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know.
It was,
I think,
raining a little bit.
Kind of got me sick. It wasn't like last year was beautiful weather. But what are you going to do? That's why we had a tent.
that is true. But did you see some of the animals that people brought just to kind of hang? I mean, Mo brought two of her highlighter animals that are like burn your retinas kind of deal. And I tried to bribe Howard to let me steal them. But, he held true. Wouldn't let me walk out the door. So.
Yeah, they were definitely some lookers, that's for sure. I think in my sickened gaze, I still could see that yellow from across the room.
Painting this picture of you huddled in the corner with a blanket and an ice pack on your head going, why am I here? Why does it make me do these things?
I swear to God, you have no idea how sick I was, man. I really thought I was going to pass out.
You were holding yourself.
I felt so bad. Luke had asked me a couple times if he wanted to fill in for me, and I was kind of like, I can't not be a part of this. I really wanted to say, man, go ahead, take it. I'm going back to the hotel.
But Luke is the surrogate. In case of doomed host, please break glass and call Luke Snell. I mean, Luke has been there several times where it's like, holy crap, we need somebody, Luke. So, and halfway through the auction, it would have been the way you're making it sound now is that at any moment I could have turned and been like, that was a good bid, right? And just seen you pass out on the countertop.
I really felt that bit. I know Jason Balin was busting my stones because I had a towel wrapped around my neck, and I was sitting there.
I forgot the towel.
Yeah, and I was some kind of rock star or something with the towel around my neck. Oh, and please get me another towel here or something.
If Balin's not busting someone's stones, he's not happy, so it's okay.
Yeah, and
he was bouncing between the two of us. He was behind us doing something. So
that's the only thing that made me feel even a little bit better was that freaking towel, man. Otherwise, I would have been done. I for the life of me, I can't figure out what it was, but it kicked my ass, man.
It's Murphy's Law. Have you been sick really all year? No, but the day of Carpet Fest, you're nearly dead. I mean,
yeah,
of course. That's how that happens. The worst possible time for you to get ill is when it's going to happen.
I've been thinking about redeeming myself and headed out to the Northwest Carpet Fest in redemption for the Northeast Carpet Fest. Hopefully I wouldn't get sick for that one, but
the Northwest, because if they are, I fully support you going out there and buying them for me.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not 100%
sure. What is the auction block for the Northwest? I'm interested in that. Do they have call-ins?
I think they're trying to set it up. I'm not 100% sure.
These are the questions. Hey, if you can't make it to the Northwest, if you can still bid, that's awesome. Or you can do exactly what Mike Curtin did. You can call in and give a donation over the phone. I mean, just because you can't go doesn't mean you can't donate or help out in the slightest. Awesome what Mike did. And I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see how Northwest goes now. Your illness kind of mucked us up.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. No,
next
I blame
year,
you for the...
Next year, I'll make sure that I get plenty of DayQuil in my system before I head down there. So
I had Zach spike your drinks for the past 2 days with NyQuil, and he's gonna give you straight up DayQuil today.
I know we were talking
about
spike. We were talking about spiking your drink, and I felt like somebody spiked my drink.
Whoa, what?
I remember when you were outside and we were busting your stones about spiking your drink. Yeah.
I'm like, exactly. If I walk back here and anybody roofing me, it's going to be a very, very poor night. So
we're going to shave your eyebrows off and, you know.
Dude, I had a wedding to go to the next day. You'd really do that to me?
Oh, man, that would have been great.
Oh, no, I'd have to kill somebody.
Somebody would have had to die. You'd have to paint your eyebrows on and we'd make them mad.
Oh,
make them mad eyebrows.
Oh, exactly. I'd be like, I'd like having a pencil and, you know, every time I had to change my emotion, wipe my eyebrows on. Yeah. Oh, you'd be dead. Oh, dear Lord.
You, Eric.
Oh, I'd be like, well, all right, Eric, I'm going to let you pick which one of you has to die. So.
Yeah, so I got some ideas for next year, and I got some, you know what would be really cool? I was talking to some of the people with their feedback and whatnot, and game of horseshoes, but have it light side versus dark side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. Just forge that, like, tunnel that is the dividingness. Just make that deeper. Go ahead.
Yeah, come on, man. You don't think that we'd be all over that? Oh man, that would be great.
I think I'd end up throwing a horseshoe at an Arian J. Breeder head. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So, but yeah, cool things
or
like that.
One thrown at me.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, it was cool to talk to some of the people, like Josh Easter. It was cool to talk to him and his brain and.
Scott was there, and apparently we got talking on the white lip front, and that was definitely cool to be divulging into a whole nother species with somebody there and talking about the golds and the blacks. So.
Yeah, the only thing is I wish it would have been a little more snake talk, that's all. I kind of remember sitting out front and kind of being like people kind of shy. There was a couple points there where we were really getting into it, but I know people are kind of like wanting to relax and chill, but you get the relax and chill with other people. I want to talk.
So
I
guess next
out,
time I'll bring topic
out,
cards. Is,
yeah,
you know.
Maybe. I don't know, but it would be cool. And I hope the next one we get to do a show from there. You know, I really think that would be cool. But
oh,
you know,
my plan was to get you so blindly drunk that we wouldn't do a show. Or if we did, it would be, like, incoherent babble. But then, like, you were dying, and I felt bad about, like, poisoning you. So.
There you go.
Yeah. See, I drew the line, man. I mean, I wasn't going to kill you.
Fair enough. So, yeah, that was pretty much Carpet Fest in a nutshell. And, you know, it was a good time. So. Thanks to everybody that helped out, and you know, let's do it again next year.
Yes.
Interesting enough, today I got red tiger eggs. I don't know if you saw my beak.
Yeah, good.
And I only got one.
No.
Well, let me back this one up. There was 12 eggs. And 11 of them looked like they could be slugs.
They could be or are.
They look like they could be. I did continue to incubate them. I didn't get rid of them yet. But I don't know. They just don't look like the other one. And so it's one. Hopefully I have 1.1 tigers.
I mean, I'm not laughing. But did you candle the eggs?
I did. But you know how, like, when you first candle and they're all kind of yellow? You know, so
yeah, they don't really have the veins can definitely pop out. If you candle egg and it kind of looks like a little yellowish, keep it. And sometimes the veins pop in the next day or a few days later. That sucks, dude.
Yeah,
I'm all excited that you got red tiger eggs. I'm like, oh my god, And I felt kind of like a failure because mine's like staring at me going, no, there's nothing coming. So
I knew there was something in there. So at least that makes me feel better, because I know a couple times we were questioning whether or not that she was grabbing or not. But I don't know, man. I don't know if it's the temps didn't get cold enough. I don't know if the it can't be the introductions. She was good size. I don't know if she ovulated and I didn't have the male in there long enough.
There's 10 million different things that it could have been. It could have been like just the nutrition of it, or, you know, this, that, or the other thing. I mean, there's lots of things
that
could have been.
You can tell with her. I mean, she's not huge, but she's not lean by any stretch of the means. I mean, she's not overweight. But it kind of made me baffled because I think about your coastal and the slugs that you got.
Okay.
And I know you feed, so you feed heavy, and you got slugs, and I feed light.
You saw her this I brought Sophie to Carpet Fest.
Yeah. Well, I saw her before, but yeah.
Well, yeah. But now she's out in person.
outside. To the public.
But what?
So the public can see that monster of a snake, whatever you...
Somebody called her a Burmese when I arrived, but, you know.
I think that was me.
my mommy monster. But she's definitely on the larger side, definitely compared to your girls. And she laid 45, and I got one good egg. So, and you and I aren't really too far away from each other, so is the temperatures really affect them that badly?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of at a loss. I don't know what it could be.
I mean,
I know this
season,
has been a crazy season for everybody.
Yeah, this is an insane season. Of course, I don't count the season over yet until we hit July, because remember, Sonia laid her eggs in July last year. So right now, I'm waiting on my jungle. June just shed today, and I just got her back from Jason Balin, where she's been sharing a cage with a zebra male. So, apparently they were breeding, and she isn't taking any food. And I tried putting her in with my jungle male yesterday night to see, like, all right, well, maybe you're not grabbing, but maybe we can still try to get a clutch out of you. And she wanted nothing. She was flailing. She was throwing herself around the cage. She wanted out. And I'm like, okay, here you go. Use your own cage. So, I don't know. And then, of course, my red tiger, Alessa, looks grabbing. She's heavy. She's thick. She's right in there. But, you know, I offered her some food today and she took it. I'm like, all right, so what are we doing here? So, I don't know. The whole season's kind of weird. But my super karma legs are denting. So,
cool.
Yeah, we are
yeah, I think
days
away.
You always know right when they're about to hatch, because the whole inside of the egg box just gets condensation all over the freaking place. And then the eggs just start to shrivel. And now you know you're close. So they've started to, and I'm betting they're probably going to take another week and a half of shriveling. They're due June 3rd, so I know we're coming right in on it. But I think they'll actually go before their due date.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to see what comes out of that.
Me too.
I'll bet.
I'm working on getting a caramel jag female, and I'm going to keep one of the best looking super caramel boy back so that we can get some super caramel jags going on over here. So, yeah.
Cool project. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we have a caller here. Are you ready to talk eggs? It seems that whenever we talk eggs.
Here we go.
I'm just kidding.
Hold on. Go for it.
Caller with the 623 area code. Do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, I'm just listening in. It's CB.
Oh, okay. All right, CB.
No.
You've been Bayhoffed.
Yes.
That was the other slang term. Let's see. There was Whenever you're promoting a project or something, like mm-hmm. I promoted the Citrus Tiger project, mm-hmm. you say, I'm Behoffing the hell out of it, you know. So
yeah,
he's a good promoter, man. You got to give him that. He promotes.
You give him that, of course. Like if we're gonna do other terms, you could also do burking it, where you buy an entire clutch and hold on to everything for all time.
That's true. true. Yeah.
I believe. See, and now I feel bad that you were like so sick because there was a moment where everyone's yelling at you for the Citrus Tiger.
Like, was there?
Howard, me, and Julie are like, you bastard, why won't you breed them? And you have no defense. So
I really don't remember that at all. Isn't that crazy? Wow.
God, you don't remember a lot. You said I could take over as like extreme host of the show.
Oh,
all
God.
Jungles all the time. Yep.
We're doomed. Can you take the likes back on Facebook? Can you get negatives? I'm just kidding.
God. Ouch. My God.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Speaking
of your Citrus Tigers, though, I did see that your latest posts and ups of your citruses on your page and on Morelli Pick of the Week, and they look good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they did.
I didn't realize you have an Echo and I have an Echo, so there can be only one. So figure that one out later.
I've had an Echo since 2009.
Damn it. Mine's a 2012. Sorry. Or 11. Whatever.
Well, there you go. Problem solved.
All right, well, and there's that question. They're probably both the same size, though. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I think
way.
They are, actually. Because he's a male.
Oh, yeah.
But, he's a cool one. When he was hatched out, he had a very hypo look. And he's not really a tiger. I wouldn't say he's a tiger.
No.
He doesn't have striping or anything, but what a cool pattern on that snake, man.
He's a lesser tiger. I mean, that's and I find that... I said it. So I find that the lesser tigers produce some of the best-looking jags out there. I mean, because they got the tiger blood in them, but, you know, it's... I mean, Echo's mother is a tiger jag, Trinity, and she produces fantastic babies every year. And I can't wait for her babies to hatch this year.
Yeah, that would be cool. The plan with him is to take him to... a Balin tiger jag, and try to get that whiter, lighter color to come out. So I think that'll make some real cool tiger jags, or super tiger jags, I guess, or whatever. If there even is a term of super tiger jags.
I think you can only call them tiger jags. At least that's what I never called any of Trinity's babies tiger jags. I always just called them jags because... I didn't want to run the risk of misrepresenting because she's not actually considered a tiger. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You gotta always gotta check that crap. Yeah.
The whole tiger complex. The did you see the new morph to hatch out? The Exanic Super Zebra.
So freaking pretty.
Yeah. I wonder what it's going to happen if you put that with albino or caramel. Ghost Super Zebra.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see how it grows up and what it looks like when it grows up.
That's what I was about to say. It was because, you look at the other Exanics as they get older, like especially Exanic Jag, the silver comes in, like as they start to shed, it comes in much cleaner and brighter. And the little guy looks like he has a bright part down his back and then a little bit of dark on the sides, and he lightens up again towards the belly. Will he come out as one crisp, clean color from tip of the nose to tip of the tail? Or is he going to have these like little subtle hues of color? I mean, that'll be cool either way. I can't wait. So.
Yeah, it's almost like
Ollie
he has
that thing.
Yeah, Ollie from Precision Reptiles produced that. And it's almost like he has a band down the side, and then it's the silver again. But it's like two pink bands in between that silver band. It's really cool. So
I guess it just shows us, I mean, so out of the Super Zebra, what do we have Super Zebra wise? We have normal Super Zebras and what else? We don't. Do we have caramel Super Zebras yet?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it'd be really cool to see all the different variations of Super Zebra next to each other, like, you know, they do that stupid bucket shot thing. I mean, eventually, you're right, you are going to get albino Super Zebra. Is that going to be an all-white snake? And then you're going to get, as the zebra morph itself improves through breeding, through line breeding of jungles in the United States, are you going to get a neon freaking yellow snake? Like, yeah, Mo brought her jungle jags to Carpet Fest. Can you imagine that animal with no pattern? Just that solid yellow?
Yeah. Do you think that Super Zebra's going to be like that? That's what you think?
Eventually. Yes, of course. Well, I mean, you're already seeing the enhancement in zebra. I mean, zebras now, like, yeah, Jason Balin posted up a few weeks ago a picture of two zebras that he bred that look really, really good looking. I mean, the contrast is good. The yellow is definitely much brighter. When those two are crossed together, you could definitely expect that color and contrast to pass through to the babies.
Yeah, but I see how fast the zebras have turned around. But it's, well, I guess there hasn't really been that many clutches of super zebras. But it seemed like to me, like, I remember when Justin Drewlander and Jason, like, they took their zebras, which weren't the best
specimens.
Well, you know, Justin had a nice one, but I know Jason, mm-hmm. he was saying that he didn't have the nicest one, but man, when he bred it, whew,
yeah,
good lord.
Well, you know, the founder animals are never what you expect them to be. I mean, like, look at the founder tiger compared to some of the tigers we got now. Look at the founder jag compared to some of the jags we got now. They're never as pretty as they're supposed to be, or they can be. It's through line breeding and focusing on what can make the morph better is when you get that really good-looking animal. So, of course, it stands to say that through line breeding, the zebras are going to get better. Hell, even zebra jags are going to get better. And once that passes through, you can expect the yellow to come through in super zebra. If you were to cross two really, really brightly colored zebra, you can expect that one of those babies, if not all those super zebra babies, are going to be very, very bright yellow.
You know what I think is going to turn up the bright yellow in a super zebra?
Diamond.
Yep. I don't think it's going to be the jungle. It's going to be the diamond.
You're saying that with all the jungles that we got out here?
Absolutely. How do you know there's not diamond blood in those?
Well, the purity of some of the lines of jungle.
Well, again, I go by my statement. It's a snake in a box, man. We kind of had this debate. I'm curious to... Actually, I was kind of upset that you weren't there. But... Well, no, I would be interested.
Was everyone agreeing with you too much?
I would be interested to hear your thoughts on it. So,
go ahead.
Some people, you know, they claim that they have, they claim that they have, knowing that the line that they have is pure whatever it is. So my question is that I always ask, because people will say that this is pure, that's not pure, and yada, yada, yada. And don't get me wrong with this. I'm not saying by any stretch of the means that I don't believe animals are pure or anything like that. I'm not trying to make that argument. My only argument is that how is it that you can say with all assuredness that your animal is pure when you didn't go over to Australia and collect it? And even if you did,
you should be in prison.
There's,
yeah.
Well, not even. Let's just say, for sake of argument, that you traveled over to Australia, and you went into diamond territory, and you picked up a diamond, and you brought it back over to the States.
Right.
What would happen? What would happen if a snake got loose? People keep snakes in Australia.
Yeah.
How
what
can
would
you
be
prove
if you
that?
Picked up a diamond? What if you picked up a diamond from a natural integrate area? They're there. We know this. We see the territories overlap.
Correct. So,
yeah.
I guess my point is that I understand the whole concept of having you know, a pure what we perceive as a subspecies in the carpet complex, you know, because I keep them and I like them and I dig them and, you know, it is what it is. But I'm just saying, like, you know, you're always taking somebody's word for what you're being told. And I just don't like when somebody else is saying that they took somebody's word and that's wrong, but yet this person says that they're taking their word and they're right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, we're just trying to make pretty snakes. It's just a snake in a fucking box.
Right, it's a snake in a goddamn box. Now,
right,
where the purity comes through is that it's a lot of purity standpoint with, the people fall on either side of the fence. I remember this being a very big debate a couple of years ago of, like, do you breed, do you cross, do you not? Do you mud up, do you not? I try not to, just because it makes my life much easier, as well as I don't want to step on the toes of anybody who's really strict about purity. You know, I have all these things. If I wanted to make freaking Hycon jungles, I could. But you would never even know that there was coastal blood in there, if there is at all. I have no idea. So you can do that, but I don't want to have to deal with the siblings or this, that, the other thing, or trying to, or accidentally misrepresenting my animals. So I try to do the pure thing as best I can, but I'm finding myself being drawn more and more towards the different mutts, just because they're very pretty snakes. And as much as we all like to say that this is our, that we do this because it's a passion, we do this because it's a hobby, because we love it, you also still do want to sell some snakes every once in a while. So you do want to make sure that your snake in the box is a pretty snake in the box, as opposed to, you know, the brown thing down the aisle. So I have that ivory diamond jungle jag. And I love her because she's got this off-white color, and she's holding on to it, and she's, like, different color than any other jag I've ever had. It makes her unique. And I'm building up a project completely around her. And it's going to involve ivory jungles and maybe a different other type of jungle, just because, but, or maybe a diamond. But I'm not going to take her and cross her into my coastal lines, because that would defeat the purpose of what makes her special, what makes her unique, and kind of ruin her morph. But, you know, this is to each their own. I know somebody who would grab it and breed it herself.
I mean, yeah. I like the idea of, like, for instance, this is a jungle type animal. This is a coastal type animal, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I'm not going to say that there are not animals out there that are from pure bloodlines, and you can trace it all the way back to the wild caughts. And, you know, more than likely you're going to say that's 100% pure. But even still, how do you know that? That's my point. You're going by what somebody told you, which is no different than what somebody told you about said morph. You understand what I'm
true
saying?
Or not.
So if you're saying that the jags are not pure coastal, is the easiest example I can think of. So you say, I trace back the lineage, and for everything that I see, it goes back that if you bought a jag at this certain time, that from this certain clutch, that at this point that John Eric hadn't mixed it with other types of carpets. So, yes, this would be a coastal jag. It popped up in a coastal jag, yada, yada, yada. Okay? But, you know, again, you're being told that, and you look at the information that's in front of you, and you kind of put it together, and you kind of say, okay, yeah, this all kind of makes sense. Do you know it 100% for being accurate? No, but, I mean, you look at the common sense would say that this is what it is, so to speak. So I guess my question would then be, is that if you had a, let's say, inland carpet, okay, and they're saying that this is pure inland carpet, and somebody collected it from Australia on this road at this spot, blah 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 blah. Again, you're only going by what you're told.
Right.
So what is the difference?
There's no real proof, right?
So the only argument I see is that the people that have the pure, whatever you want to say, whether it's inland, diamond, jungle, coastal, whatever, they're saying that that's pure, and then this other thing over here, because it's a morph, is not pure.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You can – where I think it goes with that is that you can trust the purity when you know the animals, like, you know, how, you know, if you really want to, you can do scale count, you can do location, you can do tail scoots, you can do all that crap. And if it's pretty close to what is explained when the animal was classified in dictionaries and encyclopedias and crap like that, you can pretty much count that as pure. But, you know, a lot of mudding does mess up with that kind of crap. But, you know.
I know, but, you know, there's a lot of debate on the whole classification of animals. Isn't it just man's way to keep things in an organized way?
Of course. Of course.
So,
the classification, the whole Latin system that we have is to make it so that we know which one's which. So,
yeah,
even
I mean,
then,
that
changes all the damn time.
Right, it's always in a state of flux. So I guess what if 3 years from now, all of a sudden they come out and they say that, you know,
all carpets are just one big species.
So then, what does that mean?
I could ask them.
you know what I'm saying?
Well, honestly, it never really goes backwards. It rarely ever goes backwards that way. Most of the time, they break it down as in like, well, guess what? There's three types of jungle carpet python. God damn it! And then we got to figure that one out. So. That's usually how it goes, is through DNA analysis. They find out that these things really are nowhere near identified. So,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my wild-type look of carpet pythons. I love my IJs. I love my coastals. I love my jungles. You know, I love the inlands, the Darwins. They're all cool. I dig them. I like the looks. They all have their specific thing going on, you know.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know. It's just my rant for the day.
I understand what you're getting at. It's like, okay, some of the things that we're going to be able to do in order to expand the morphs and expand the whole complex is we're going to have to cross into mud. I mean, you would have never gotten the super Exanic zebra if you hadn't crossed into it. I mean, Exanic was in coastal, correct?
Yeah.
So you had to do that. And then you're missing out on something that is a fantastic-looking animal. Now, I think that I'm beginning to think more and more, and, you know, I'm going to get flack for this because I've listened to the older episodes and realized how stupid I sounded, that in order to have the complex reach its full potential, you have to do integrating to a certain extent, but you have to do responsible integrating. And if someone's going to give you flack for responsible integration, shut up. It's not your snake. It's just the way it is. And, you know, and you're completely correct. You are taking the word of somebody on whether or not this is what is represented. Now, we can definitely go by what we know of, like, if somebody walks up to me with a IJ and tries telling me it's a diamond, I don't believe them. So,
right.
We just know by the dimorphism of the animal, we know what we're looking at physically. But this is why it's always important to never misrepresent your animals and keep a good reputation, because, you know, I would much prefer to believe somebody who I know is very unlikely to lie to me about something like this, as opposed to some guy who's just trying to make a sale.
I think this is where the chondro community has it right. And where the chondro community has it right is they keep very detailed, accurate lineage of their animals. And what's going to happen is, if that, let's just say, for instance, you know what comes to mind? Deb King in Australia? I think of her whatever it was. It was like inland jags, whatever. You know, like.
Oh, God, that hurt. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was like a mix of three different type of carpets. Beautiful animal.
I mean,
really look cool.
Here's the thing. Mixing for a certain morph. I want Exanic zebra jacks. Okay, mix it and get it. But mixing things in order to get something because it might turn out good looking, I think you're just doing it for the shit of it. I mean.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. We're in uncharted territory. how do you know what, for instance, how do you know, this is another thing I talk
that
about.
That a diamond brettle jag zebra isn't going to look fantastic?
No. What's a granite tiger going to look like?
You son of a bitch.
See, what would a granite tiger
look like? Shut up, all right? We don't want to talk about this.
So my point is that could be the ugliest thing that ever hit the planet Earth.
Oh, God, it's hideous. We made a horrible mistake.
It very could well be, you know what I mean? But how do you know if you don't try it? Notice
that
nobody has bred tiger into the granite.
Well,
Go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of hoping, here's the thing, is that some morphs, like, I see the hesitation for breeding an IJ into a granite because the IJs are just beginning to establish their own tiger line. So why muddy the blood when you just got to wait, and then there'll be IJ tigers, and then you can cross them into the granite, and no one's going to give you any flack for about, you know, crossing coastal into IJ because it was an IJ tiger to an IJ granite. Woohoo. So...
True, but what if the tiger in the IJ complex
doesn't
prove
act
out
like
to
the
be
same tiger
anything?
In the coastal? Right. Well, then we can go back and do what we got to do. You know, you can grab one of your granites, you can grab one of your tigers, and you can just kind of do that.
Right. Well, my whole point is that you're going to get things that, you know, people were in the at least in the morph part of the carpet python world is. You're trying things and seeing what they turn out like. Some of them may be really, really cool. Some of them may not. Some of them may turn out
right.
like we thought. Some of them may turn out completely like we didn't think. How do you
and
know?
Some
like,
of them might turn out better than what we thought.
For instance, I got to be honest, I never really liked the idea of an inland jag. I just don't see – I think you can get that same kind of look out of a coastal jag, you know, with some selective breeding.
Right. I would imagine the best case scenario for an inland jag would be to look like those things that Wayne Lark's putting out, those ghost jag things. I mean, the bluish kind of tint that they got. I mean, that's what I think would be your best case scenario for an inland jag.
But you can do that with a coastal.
Exactly. So what's the point?
Right.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't understand, like, brettle jags. I think that I would think what you'd be shooting for is to try to get with a brettle jag, you want that red to pop out, but you lose that with brettle jags. Kind of.
Well, that's probably because they haven't been, you know. And I'm sure you probably get the inland jag, they get bluer and bluer. But my point with the inland jag is that the normal, quote-unquote, looking snake of the clutch is actually better looking than the morph that you were trying to make. But
right.
I guess my concept is this, is that if the normal one was what the morph was, that would be the one that's valuable.
Right.
But if the morph, because this jag is the morph, so to speak, you're not going by your looks, because if you put the two together and you looked at them side by side, hands down, when I posted that picture up way back on the Facebook page, people went crazy saying, oh my God, what the hell is that? You know, it looks so cool.
Yeah.
Here it's just what you would, for lack of a better term, blackhead food. You know what I mean? Because what you perceive as valuable is that jag mixed in with the inland. But because this isn't labeled a morph, it's not cool. So I guess, like, to me, it should go by what you're looking at. I mean, you're trying to make prettier and prettier snakes. So if the sibling to the jag is the nicer of the two, then obviously – shouldn't that be the one that's worth
something,
more money?
Something went wrong, yeah. But the whole market, especially the snake shows, is driven via morph. I mean, normals go for $60. They don't care what the parents are, what you're looking at.
Well,
I mean, I purposely didn't bring a bunch of my M-Pens to snake shows because I don't want people going, so why is this one $60 and this one's $200? And I go, well, because it's better. So... one of those things, you got to know your market.
Yeah, I guess, but I think that there, you know, I think, well, at least my goal was to make nicer normal animals, you know, really take some
lines. That's a very good, that's a very good thing. I mean, it's like, that's like, people were busting my chops saying, because I said, oh my God, I produced like this many eggs. And they're like, oh, quality over quantity. I'm like, well, the problem is that you, or what I do is you take quality and then you make sure you get a bunch of it. So, you know, the quality is there, and it's good to have quality animals, even in your normal types. It doesn't matter. Just because you can breed it to something doesn't mean you should. So, if the normal types, you know, we were talking today, it's like some of the normal types look fantastic, and I wish to God my beginner coastal looked like some of the coastals I see out here today. I mean, he was not a good-looking animal.
Yeah. But, even with coastal, I mean, how many people are really working with refining coastals?
It's hard. No one. Unless it's an end line.
And that's a shame. That's really a shame that nobody's taking the initiative to... I think Chuck is doing it.
Well, the refinement also comes in with, like, the reds and things like that. That's all coastal line. But you're right. Unless it's some kind of color or something...
I'm not talking about red or anything like that. I'm talking about your normal coastal.
Just normal coastal. Refining that into making it look like the best that it can be, which I think is something that you get with the panel line. But there aren't really that many other lines aside from Madame Blueberry and Panel and Coastal that are really refined or being refined. So.
And again, I think that's where the Chondro guys, I think we should take a tip from them and try to really, because there's really only one Chondro morph, right?
Right.
But think of all the different looks that they have.
Tons. I mean,
exactly.
And, of course,
so
what's you
to
really
say
want
that
to go with the, I mean, David Kelly did call them the ball python of the carpet world.
Ouch. That was
he said that. He said that.
I know.
Buddy.
I
mean, my God. I'm like, oh,
that's
geez.
A tough one.
Speaking of Buddy, he bought jungles. He got jungles today.
Yeah.
Or at
cool.
Carpet Fest. So.
It's pretty cool. I don't know. And I like everybody's thoughts and everything that they put into it, but that's just kind of my thoughts. It's just, you know, I just wish, you know, people would just be excited about what they work with. You know who came across with that with me? You know who I really, really enjoyed talking to was Hisham. Because I tell you what, you know what?
Mm.
He does his projects. He doesn't give a shit what you think. He doesn't. He just he's doing his thing, and that's what it is, man. And he's staying to his to
that's
what he thinks.
Do. Yeah. If you don't want to buy it, okay, go away. I mean, if you and here's the other thing is that I think we all need to kind of get through is that none of us would take kindly to anybody coming in and telling us what to do with our own animals. Nobody. And I think that some of us do it accidentally maybe sometimes, or there are some people out there who will actually full on tell people that what they're doing is wrong or judgmental of what they're doing. And that crap just needs to stop. It's whatever. Just if you can, I can appreciate the animal for what it is. I mean, you and I go back and forth about these IJ jungle stuff, bull crap. You know, I can appreciate the look of an IJ and your stuff, like your granite jag that you have. I want to steal him in the night, not just because I would really like a granite jag, but he's a gorgeous-looking animal, just the way that he's got no pattern, basically, except for black outline on some of his scales as he gets further back. Ridiculous. So, and that's something like that. And it's like, you know, and I can appreciate every animal for what it is, every project for what it is. And that's why, and I've definitely really just gotten into that in the past year or so, 2 years, because, you know, the affinity for Maclots, that just came out of freaking nowhere. And I just love them because of what they are. The white lips, I always really liked the white lips, but definitely very close to analyzing them. You really find all the little things that you really love about that particular type of snake. So if you open yourself up to seeing all the different twists and turns and the beauty in each and every kind of species, you'll definitely find an appreciation for a lot of things out there, except for ball pythons. So nothing. Yeah. Can't get nothing. Nothing.
Wow. You're tough. yeah, you're right. I could see you. I could see if somebody's just getting into the hobby, and you know they want to breed, and you're kind of giving them some direction or some thought or whatever. You know, yeah. I think that that's good, and that's welcome to kind of you know, put people in the right direction, so to speak. You know, like if somebody's
there's so many different directions. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you know somebody and they're just gonna breed something for the sake of breeding it, you know, somebody may say, you know, you shouldn't breed that because you're not going to really get good results or whatever. You know, I can see that kind of mentoring going on. It's like maybe you want to, you know, what are you trying to get out of this project? Like, what is your end goal from this type of project? You know, there's a way to do it and not come across as
being
exactly.
but you're right, and, you know, and that's something I absolutely hate is when people can, like I was selling a few jungles for you at the last reptile show, and somebody was walking around, and he's like, we want to breed some jungles. I'm like, all right, well, you know, this boy here is like, this girl here, you're going to get some really, you can get some prime yellows. You're going to get some great looking animals of these. He walks away and he comes back with this thing. It was a very, very not good looking carpet python. I mean, it was a sibling from somebody who had no idea what they had carpet python wise. I had no idea what was in this thing. It looked like it could have been like Jungle Diamond Coastal something. And I'm like, ooh. And I asked them, I'm like, well, what are you trying to do? They're like, we're trying to get some really bright yellow animals. So I'm like, well, and they're like, oh, well, they're all related anyway. It's like, listen, if you want a project, you need to listen to the people who know what they're talking about, but also be willing to, you know, take pride in your project. Don't just be like, I got these two jungles for $50 and I'll breed them and make great animals. You're going to get what you paid for. You're going to get what you paid into the project. If you really want to do it, you know, do it. Take the extra steps. I mean, I'm very picky about my animals, and I take pride in being that picky because I don't want to just take something and chuck it into something else. You always want to be able to, I want to see the babies, and I want to know that the babies that are coming out are the best ones that could have been produced from that pairing because I picked the best parents that I could have available at that time. So.
Right. Right. Exactly. I think of, I guess a good example with me is the citrus tiger. And yes. I remember back in 2009, I guess there was a few, I guess there was some people that wanted to get some of them. But I remember back then that was kind of like,
you know damn well there were. But anyway, go ahead.
I remember back then there was a lot more of the purity debate and whatnot and kind of talking to Will, and people kind of were a little shy of the citrus tiger because the female is from
the
unknown.
Mother, yeah.
So you don't really know. Was it? Well, here we are now. Jungles and coastals are pretty much the same thing. So now all of a sudden, nobody gives a shit. But back then, people were like, "Ooh, you can't breed a coastal with a jungle.
Right.
That's no good. We don't want those. They're not tigers." Well, whatever. So, but the end goal with the citrus tiger is, to me, the contrast. Number one, if I keep pushing towards making an orange and black snake, basically, I don't think it will ever be an orange like a ring python. But
no,
it's going to be a orange that's not really on any other type of carpet. You know, you can see it coming.
Mother,
like,
yeah,
I can see the potential. It's just managing the project correctly. If you have a snake that even has a slight, like some of the pictures that we took, you can see some of it starting to come out. And
yeah.
I'm sure it's going to take a while for it to happen. But, you know, to me, that's where the Citrus Project is going. You know, the Citrus Tiger Project is going towards that. And my end goal, where people are going to want that type of animal and then make it albino, it's going to be insane. But
that would be good.
You know,
yeah.
At that time, the only thing that I was worried about was how the animal looked. You know what I mean? It just
right.
I really, really liked the way they looked. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't so caught up on this whole thing of, you know, it's not pure coastal, so it's not really a tiger and da-da-da-da-da and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's like, well, wait a minute. Aren't you breeding Jags and Jungles together? And aren't we breeding Jags and IJs together? So what's the – I don't get – you know what? You do you. I'm going to do me. And that's kind of how I looked at it. And I bought both clutches. So – and I think that was a good move on my part. And if I could just get it to lay more than one egg, I'd be all right.
Yeah. If we get past that point, we should be good. But, you know, it's funny because you and I are kind of in the same boat because do you have any idea what the payment was for high contrast when Pyro was bought?
No.
I mean, Pyro was $60. I mean, high contrast, the product couldn't give them away. So there were very few people who really kind of paid any attention to them until they started getting into the high-con Tigers and the high-con Jags, which is why high contrast is really not that many out there anymore that aren't crossed with Tigers or Jags. They're just gone. I'm trying to keep it going with just normal high-cons, but it's just one of those things now. They all of a sudden they're back up into the hundreds just because of people don't care anymore, and it's yellow and good looking and can be added to a lot of things. So yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's kind of the
soapbox for today, even though we've divulged so far off Carpet Fest. It's ridiculous. Moving on. So,
yeah, I know, right? That's because
I'm
sick and I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, we're going to use that defense. I'm quite ill, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh. Yeah.
So anybody wants to meet me at Eric's, I'm just going to start taking stuff from his house and be like, you told me to take this. Like, oh, well, all right. So.
Oh, man. What else did I want to hit on? I think that's. Did you see the video that I put over on the Morelia Python page, Facebook page? It was two coastal carpets tangling
fighting.
Up in the in
the
wild.
Combat.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Shit. Yeah,
definitely go over and check that out.
Have you ever seen combat with your boys?
Yes. A while back.
I seen one combat, and they just started. And all they did was kind of throw each other around for a little bit, and then I realized that, no, that's not supposed to happen. And I pulled them out, and I'm just like, why did that happen? And then, of course, looking around the internet, you found videos of combat. And then you're like, oh, shit, one of you is supposed to be a girl. So, you know, that usually how that ends up. But, it's not as gentle as they describe. So,
yeah.
But it's still definitely very cool to see.
They said that they were going at it for 5 hours. That's a long
Jesus.
Time.
Yeah. You think by then
that video,
quick?
In that video, yeah, she said that they went from 10 o'clock until 3 o'clock.
That's kind of funny. Like, they combat over the female. Like, what if she leaves during that time? Like, what if they're combating like hell and then she just kind of slithers off somewhere else?
I would imagine that they could follow her pheromones, but
But then you go chase her
point.
Down. Or there's another boy there. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, good point. Oh, wait, we have...
This is ridiculous.
Breaking news.
Breaking news? Do we have any kind of like... Sorry.
No, wait. This is breaking news.
Oh, shit. Now we've waited. Oh, God.
Yeah. Right now...
Anticipation is killing me.
As we speak, 4 minutes ago...
Yes.
That's right. 4 minutes ago at the Chris Behoff Reptiles Ranch, Blaze Hatchlings just picked. That's right, they just pipped, and they're coming out of the egg. So
are any of them like glowing as they come out of the egg, as I expect?
All I see is a blackhead.
Aww. Wah, wah.
But, yeah, there they are.
Hooray!
There you go. Johnny Blaze.
You're on
baby.
That list, aren't you?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how many lists I'm on. Then you don't know what list you're on until I contact you. And you're like, oh, shit, yeah. All right, I'll buy one.
I forgot I signed up for that one.
Yeah. See, that's where I'm going to get you to buy a Super Caramel. I'm like, Eric, you signed up for one. You're like, I did? All right. So.
Yeah. So there we go. I don't have any other breaking news.
Damn it. That was cool. First time we ever had breaking news.
That was pretty
exciting. You should get one of those. You should work on the sound effect for that.
Like a typewriter or something? Like,
yeah, something like, 60. This has just been handed to me. News bulletin.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, cool. Johnny Blaze babies on the ground. I think, what's the term? Get blazed? That's right.
Get blazed. Yeah, there you go.
Chris Behoff Reptiles. And,
that can't be read into any kind of way at all.
Oh, man. Well,
I realized through Carpet Fest, we are all screwed up in the head. Something wrong with all of us. But I love it.
This is true. This is true.
I mean, it was like right during the auction, Julie turns to me and she goes, God, you have such a dirty mouth. And I'm like, no, I don't. Shut the hell up. And then, like, we just kind of kept rolling with the auction. It was great. So, great. Love it.
So, we're back on
August.
The ICAS. It should be a great time.
Yeah. We're back on the what?
We'll be back on the guest over the next couple of weeks and such. But next week we have Jordan Russell coming on.
Sweet.
He's coming on and he's going to talk to us about some different things. He has some carpets. He has some other stuff. And it's going to be interesting to talk to him. He's a full-time breeder.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of does it full-time and such. And it'll be exciting to talk to him. Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely working on some more chondro shows. I wanted to do third hand of Australian Addiction. Steve Skies, I think, is his name.
He does the geckos.
Geckos and the lizards and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
The ones with the legs.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was
those guys.
Actually, cool story real quick. I was over at Zach's. I finally saw his place, and he has some really cool stuff. But the thing that fascinated me most of all were these Australian tree skinks. Now, he has like a group of...
Yeah, he has those little things, yeah.
They're like little tiny monitors, man. They're freaking insane.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah, he has just a setup. Go ahead.
No, I mean, like, I've seen Tristis monitors, and those things are, like, tiny, tiny little things. I mean, so I guess the little tree skinks, that would be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a monitor in a tiny, tiny package, you know? And they live in, like, a family group, and, you know, they interact with each other. And, they really fascinated the shit out of me, so it was pretty cool. So... he actually got them from him, so, that was
cool.
Pretty interesting. The other one that he had was, I can't remember which kind of gecko it was, but it was one of those Wheeler Eye or Levis, I can't remember which one. But anyway, it looks like an alien. The thing is crazy looking, man. You know, I don't know. It just made me realize one of the things that I did take from the weekend with talking with Dave and Zach, especially
yeah.
Zach, he like knows all these obscure species. There's so many cool reptiles out there. It's like
yes,
it's really cool to have like a cool side project that has nothing to do with what you have going on. I think it kind of keeps the fun, so to speak, in
right.
reptiles. At least it does for me. I don't know. I guess maybe I suffer from Noah's Ark syndrome, maybe, and want two of everything, you know. But
no. I'll totally agree with you. I mean, that even just having a cool pair of pythons that not many other people have out there. I mean, one of the big appeals from our blackface is that how often do you see a blackface white lip? I mean,
out there, right?
That is what I love about them. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to. Chris and I were talking on the way home of what we're going to bring to kind of show off at the IVCF, and I want to bring our adult female blackface white lips to have her hang out and just to be there, because I think that would be something not a lot of people have seen that much. So cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Looking forward to seeing that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, so I just want to – of course, it's going to be Australia-related because, man, they have some cool reptiles, man. Really do. You know what was alpha school was shinglebacks. When I saw
yes.
them at the Australia, you know, the Oz display in the aquarium. Really freaking
yeah.
awesome looking.
They're
I think they're like
things.
$15,000 a pair.
Well, another kind of skink, and I know this is Zach's like holy grail, is monkey tail skinks. So, like you said that his skinks kind of have like this family interactions. I mean,
yeah.
monkey tails live in family groups and they all raise the babies together, and they're ridiculous. And they used to bring them in by like the truckloads, the monkey tails, and then they kind of just.
Stop bringing them in.
They stopped doing that, and then, of course, the monkey tails that were here were, you know, either in hands that weren't so good or were scooped up by zoos as part of breeding projects, and there's not that many hanging around in the private sector, but the ones that are here, they're not cheap at all, so.
Yeah, it's just like, I want a couple of those type of projects in my collection. I hope, eventually, when I get some more space, you know, those type of things will be creeping into my fold. You know, I definitely will always love carpet pythons. They're always my main thrust. But, you know, it just makes me think. And, you know, I think of how sometimes, I don't want to say upsetting or makes me mad. It's kind of like disappointing almost to a certain extent. Like when you go to a reptile show and all you see is, you know, ball pythons and boas. I got to be honest, man. I really wouldn't even want to walk into a reptile show and see all carpet pythons. You know, I kind of
yeah.
like the fact that they have this little niche, so to speak.
The variety.
You know,
yeah.
I like them. I like the fact that, you know, people are getting into them and digging them and everything like that. But I kind of like the fact that they're like kind of like just under the radar, so to speak. And,
right.
you know. I think that makes them cool, and you know, I'm kind of digging these other type of species, and I never really thought I would get much into lizards and stuff like that. But you know, another one that I really like, California king snakes. I don't know what it is about them. Yeah, I like them, and I told you if I could keep one type of colubrid, it would be Okeetee corn snakes. I really dig them too.
I slapped you, but
yeah.
like.
You did. What? You smacked me hard. Why would you want that?
Why would you want that? I mean, I think, I had Cali Kings, and I did love my Cali Kings. They were my first snakes that I ever actually bred, but the ever threat of eating the partners and then choking on them as I digest is just too much for me. I'm like, all right, hell no. But, you know, there are some good colubrids out there. I mean, there's the Taiwan beauties are out there. There's, of course, the dragon rat snake, which, you know, I would just love to see one in person one day. And, of course, you know, I bred pine snakes, bull snakes, corn snakes. I can, like, I don't think I ever remember putting my corn snakes in the same tub, and they still somehow bred. But, you know, it's, everybody loves a collier, but tell everybody started, whether they, or a smart person started. Some people out there just go and buy a retic, but collibers are nice.
Cool stuff.
Trying to convince my one friend to breed corn snakes for me so I don't have to deal with it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking back at the pictures from the Carpet Fest. I just saw one that popped up. How come in every picture my head is tilted? It's like my head's off.
I'm pretty sure you were fighting some sort of inner ear infection and you were just...
Yeah, like, I don't know, man.
I told you.
My head filled it.
Yeah. I mean, I told you the pictures of us getting ready for the auction, you look terrible. I look like I'm, like, dozed out, not paying any kind of freaking attention. And then there's one picture where we're, like, looking at each other. I'm like, there we go. That's a good one. Good. Good enough. Use that one for everything.
Right.
Grab the rest. But, you know, it's, I don't know, you weren't feeling like shit. So, of course, you're not going to take a good picture. So.
Yeah, that's true. But still.
Yeah. So. But still, now it's there forever.
Yep. What are you going to do? That's the way it goes.
Do better next year.
So, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you want to hit on, but I was going to keep it a little short tonight since I'm still a bit under the weather. And anything else you want to hit on?
I got really nothing. It's just, again... thanks to everybody who came out and made Carpet Fest a blast. And we will do it again next year. Hell, I want to do it twice a year if we can, because I just freaking love it. So I guess the ICVF will be like a second Carpet Fest. So maybe if we do Carpet Fest and the ICVF like every year, which we'll have two Carpet Fests a year, it'd be great. So
don't forget about Tinley. That's like Carpet Fest too, man.
I have never been out to Tinley. And, of course, in October, I'm in Alaska, so I'm going to miss that one, too.
Oh, that sucks.
I know.
So you make sure you go to the March one. So we have to go to the March one. I'll be out
in
October.
Go to the March one. Yeah. Hopefully, I'll be in my new job come next time. Well, I'll be in my new job by July. But that will give me much more lenience when it comes to getting out for these things. So.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, well, I'll just shoot down the list real quick, and then
we'll call
it a day. You know, MoreliaPythons.com, go over there and check that out. That's the best form. You know what? I wanted to hit on this real quick.
Damn it.
I like Facebook. I really do. But I wanted to hear your thoughts on this, because, and again, I'll keep this short. Facebook is kind of an instantaneous thing. It gets to a lot of people, like, really fast.
Very
spread
quickly,
the word,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Which is great.
Uh-huh.
And that's the kind of tool it is. But I think a lot of people are shying away from forums. And I think they're making a mistake because you can't go back and retrieve that information as easily.
Right. Facebook would be harder to go find the post. Like, if I posted up a question to, hey, what's this animal? And everybody responds to it, that's cool. But if I want to go try to find it again, I have to wade through the depths of my Facebook, and that can take a very long time.
You can't search it out. Like, for instance, on the forum, on Morelia Python forums, you could go over, and if you wanted to, you could type in poster child Irian Jaya. And every single post with poster child Irian Jaya is going to, or every single thread or post, is going to pop up, and you're going to be able to go
and
anything
that's just poster child is going to show up,
You can't do that on Facebook. So never forget the, you know, I just kind of think, is Facebook eventually going to become obsolete again? Because I think that people like that function, especially when you're trying to research something, or especially when you're trying to research a new species that you're getting into. You know, it's kind of, it's good to put that information into somebody's face so they can kind of have a starting stepping stone, so to speak. But I think that it's kind of important that the forums don't get lost, because it's kind of, it's almost like an encyclopedia of the history of
right.
whatever species that the forum is about is there for your use at any time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can do more stuff with the forum. I mean, if I was asking questions about keeping a species, I would prefer it to be on a forum as opposed to Facebook, just because I don't think of my Facebook as the, you know, fact-finding thing as the forum is. If I'm trying to, you know, like, say I wanted to research how to breed my Max, I mean, I would rather it posted as a thing on a forum so that a lot of people, even the really good breeders that don't necessarily use Facebook, could weigh in on it. Also, that I have that information is there, and also there for somebody else. Like, say I searched up how to breed Max, and then a year or so later you want to know how to breed Max, and it's all right there if you just search on the forums.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the forums should be viewed as a tool, as opposed to Facebook should be viewed as like a news outlet. I mean, that's
yeah.
where I would get all. That's right. Like a new, it's almost like you know, they have the posts on the forums of, "Hey, this baby just hatched out. What, isn't it cool looking?" Those, I think, are going
right.
to be, you're going to see more prevalent over on Facebook, because that's instantaneous. It's holy crap, it is. And I took this picture with my iPhone. Like, I took a picture tonight of my IJs. I've decided just to house them together from now on, and I gave them two hide boxes, and the female likes this one, and the male likes this one, since the kids in her hide boxes. Like, all right, whatever. So that's something I can post up on Rogue's Facebook and be like, look at this, stupid IJs. And, you know, it's big gratification. Where if I post it up on the forum, you know, no one might run, like, you know, it's not like a, it's whatever. So it's I definitely see where you're talking about, but it's almost like you're not going to get the most bang for your buck if you simply ask questions on Facebook.
Yeah, I think it's just important that, you know, you keep that going, man. I know. Here's one thing I recommend. I know that there's some people out there that they like the fact that they can Facebook right from their phone and all that kind of stuff. Go over and get TapTalk. Get TapTalk. It's an app. Go to the App Store, whatever it is. Get downloaded. Put in your phone. Morelia Python Forums has TapTalk right on there. It works just like it. You can take a picture with your phone, upload it right to the forum. Bam, bam, bam. Same thing. Same exact thing. But it's there for everybody to have, so you can go back and research on it and have it,
yeah,
you know, there for everybody to see and comment. Because you have some people like, you know, I know everybody's slowly going over to Facebook because they're kind of getting forced to, but there's a lot of people that kind of, they fought Facebook and they're not really over there, and you're not getting that person's perspective on things. And it's
right.
kind of, it's kind of a shame. But anyway, I think that, you know, MP Forums is what an awesome community. I mean, it's really
right.
just a great group of people, and you should go over there and definitely become a part of that, and you know, make sure that you're checking in once a day. I think that
yeah, and it's I mean, if you're on, if you, also if you're in MP Forums, you know, if you have knowledge that could be shared to other people on MP Forums, you owe it to the community and to other breeders to make sure you share that information. I mean, it's just it makes it much simpler. I mean, if I held back all the information that I've given to fellow breeders, I'd just be a jackass. I mean,
right?
Imagine if, like, when your female is bound, if you called and they just hung up on you. I mean, the hell, dude.
Right. Exactly. But anyway, go over there if you're not a member, www.moreliapythons.com, become a member over there and check it out. Don't forget about the ICAS. That's www.arboreal-symposium.com. That's August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. You know, go get your ticket. Make sure that you have your hotel booked, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it's going to be a great time. It's going to be your chance to totally nerd out snake top, snake top, snake topics. You're just going to...
Oh, Lord, we've lost them.
Yeah, right. I can't talk.
Half the audience is gone. Yep, it's over.
My throat is killing me, man. But anyway, you're going to be able to nerd out snake topics. It's going to be, you know, a whole weekend full of that. So there's going to be some great speakers there.
Bring your notebooks. Information is going to be spewed out there.
Yeah, so. There's going to be tons of great animals. I think it's going to be better than a zoo, man. You're going to walk in there and see some really killer animals that we've probably never seen before.
Yeah, from what I've spoken to and what we've heard about, there's going to be a lot of really interesting animals. And I know for a fact that we're bringing a lot of scrubs. I know the Wamitas will be out, and I think a few of our other locales that we have with us are going to be with us just to kind of show off a little bit. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool
stuff. Yeah, if our patternless Wamina will be there, and that's, she's pretty.
Yes, she's very nice. And the Northwest Carpet Fest, Seattle, Washington, it's June 8th. For more info, you can go over to check out carpetfest.com. Also, you can contact Heather, and the email again is nwheather7@yahoo.com. If you have an animal that you wanted to donate, because they're doing the same exact thing over in the West Coast,
awesome.
They're doing an auction. So if you want to donate an animal, get in contact with Heather, and you can hook everything up through her. So, they're doing it for Rico as well. So we may, if they can raise the same amount, we're looking at almost $15,000 that we would raise from the carpet python community for Rico. So that would be
there's
awesome.
A little bit of a, I would like a little bit of a friendly competition, and I challenge them to definitely beat us. I mean, I would love to see them raise more money than what we had. That would be great. So, please, guys, definitely go out and definitely give. So.
Yeah, and I want to give a big, big thanks to. First, I want to give a big thanks again to Howard Redding, Redding Reptile Breeders, for hosting the Carpet Fest. And I want to give a big thanks to Julie from GFX Morelia for getting some of the higher-end auction stuff together and, you know, doing the page and just really stepping up and helping us and helping Rico in turn. And she did a really great thing. So, you know what, go over and like their Facebook pages. Make sure you check them out. They got some cool, exciting clutches on the ground. And if you're into carpets, I couldn't think of two better people to get some carpets through. So go check them out. She's GFX Morelia and Redding Reptiles Breeders. Both really, really, really great people. So check out Morelia Pythons Radio.com. Go subscribe to us over on iTunes. Go over to that page. You can like us over there. Make sure you like our Facebook page. I always try to throw little news information about in the world of Morelia over there. So check that out, and you'll see some cool stuff. Like, for instance, the video of the two carpet pythons that are wrestling out back in Australia, somebody's yard in Australia. So it's pretty cool. So if you're into stuff like that, go over to like the page and follow us there. The only other thing I have is... I guess if you want to get in contact with me for anything, you can contact me at eric@ebmorelia.com. If you have a topic, if you know a guest you want to hear, Chris Behoff of CB Reptiles has been helping me out with a lot of the upcoming guests, some cool carpet people in the works. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag now, but some of the founder people may be making a presence on
holy shit! I mean,
Morelia Python Radio Airwave. So, once I get more details, we'll have that narrowed down. But some cool shows upcoming. So, if you like, I said, if you have a topic, if you have a guest you'd like to hear, if you would like to come on the radio and talk a topic, you know, by all means, drop me a line at eric@ebmorelia.com. Or you can send me an email at info@moreliapythonradio.com. Either one will work. And that's all I have. It's all you, Owen. Go for it.
All right, we got to end this before you fall asleep or something. So anyway, for me, what we got is upcoming soon is the June 8th Reptile Show in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. I will be vending the show with my good friend, Mr. Eric Rick of EB Morelia. So he'll be there. Definitely stop on by. Check out us. Check out the table. It's always a good time up in Hamburg. Then, of course, Eric and I will begin splitting a table in August at the Arboreal Symposium, and that should be a blast. As far as the happenings at Rogue, you can definitely go to rogue-reptiles. Check out all the babies we have for sale, as well as bios of each parent. Lineage information will be there. You can figure it out for yourselves. The second thing is also you can go to rogue-reptiles at facebook.com. That is your best way to find out all the latest happenings at Rogue. And we got some good ones coming soon. I'm betting that we got maybe 2 weeks max before Super Caramel Eggs are pipping. So expect pictures of them when that happens. If you still want to get on the Super Caramel list, let me know. We'll put you on there. And let me know soon. That list is filling up pretty nice. That's all I got. So what I guess we'll say is thanks for listening. And we'll catch up with everybody next week for some more Morelia Python Radio. Good night.